And we'll just start at verse 26, which is fairly familiar. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we start that with that verse. That's the most important verse that we talked about, really, on the Holy Spirit guiding you into truth and how to find the truth, because it says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And, of course, 16:13 says the same thing. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. And so we will pray about it, and we'll learn how to be guided into the truth of the Bible, part two here. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. And, Lord, it's just we just read, it is the Spirit, Father, that guides us into truth, Lord. No matter how much a man may know or study or learn or try or have great intellect, Lord, he can't really grasp the Bible, Father. The Pharisees were the most learned people and in the nation, and Jesus said to them, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" And Lord, all the Pharisees had the first five books of the Bible memorized, and if they couldn't find the Messiah, many of them, who when he was talking to them in person. Lord, we certainly need you to quicken us according to your word and show us the truth of your word and how to grasp it and see what it says. And I pray today we'd grasp more how to do that, Lord. And I just pray you'd guide us into that in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, let's go back. Let me take you to, let's see, 1 John 2:27. Let me take you there, and then we'll wander around a little bit and talk about a few things from last week. And 1 John 2:27 talks about the Holy Spirit again. He's called in this verse the anointing. And the anointing, when you're set aside to do a job for God, in the Bible, you're anointed with oil, and the oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so we see here in 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, as the Holy Spirit stays in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide him." So again, you can understand the Bible even if without the help. You can understand the Bible even if somebody teaches you wrong, even if you don't have a good instructor. The Holy Spirit can always guide you into truth. And what you hear, you won't always, you don't necessarily believe everything every teacher teaches you. And you let the Holy Spirit confirm that and say that is the truth or that is not the truth, because the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And humans can make errors. But the Holy Spirit is the foolproof check that shows you this is right or this is wrong. And if you study the Word, as we said, and you know the Holy Spirit, you know His voice, He will teach you the truth of God and the truth of the Bible, and He will guide you into all truth. However, said not everybody lets themselves be guided into truth. And we'll talk a little bit about things. One point I just said at the end, just to get it in last week, but we didn't elaborate on it, is in order to find the truth, look at the fruit of the doctrine. And if you go back to the book of John, not 1 John, but the book of John, chapter 8, look at the fruit of the doctrine. And as a real truth seeker, this is something that I've been able to experience and watch over years and years and years. You look at the fruit of a doctrine. Verse 31. "And Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And it says there, later in the verse, verse 34, "Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Good Bible doctrine sets you free. And if you find the truth, you find freedom. You find victory. You find transformation. And so you ask yourself, does this doctrine set me free? Do I do what the Bible says? Do I see the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of this person teaching this? Do I see holiness? Does it lead to revival? The people I love to read the most and try to understand and biographies and autobiographies and books about the Bible and things, the ones I like to read the most are by people who've done something great for God and who had great victory. Why? Because in the book of Acts, when they found the truth, they did great things. And people were set free, and they were set free. And if you abide in me, and if you abide in Christ, and you're staying, well, if you're going to have the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, you're going to be abiding in Christ. If the Holy Spirit's your teacher, obviously the Holy Spirit's all around you and speaking to you. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So here's a person whose life is full of anger or full of bitterness, is not happy, has no joy, has no victory over sin. Am I to assume that person has the Holy Spirit speaking to him in a great way that I don't have and that I need to listen to them? See, you look at the fruit of their life and you consider that as you look at the doctrine. And you decide, you know, is this really leading to freedom? Look at, and let me take you to Hebrews and chapter 13. And verse 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The word conversation in the New Testament means life. It says, considering the end of their life, their lifestyle, considering what the end of their lifestyle is. Now, if I got up here and I said, let me tell you how to have victory in Jesus, and you all week long, as you drove by the bar near your house, you saw me going in it all week long, and you saw me sleeping in the street, and you saw my wife with the black eye and all this stuff, would you think I'd be the guy to teach you victory? You might say, you know what, I'm not so sure this guy knows what he's talking about. It's like a guy who sits there and his car's all broke down, and it's sitting there on the side of the road all broke down and just a disaster, and you walk by and say, hey, can I help you? And he says, you know what, hey, you can help me by letting me work in your car, I'm a master mechanic. Well, you're not showing it. And let me illustrate this to you in a couple of different ways. We had one of the people who didn't come to our church very often. They came once every 6 months or so, and they called me, and they were in jail, and said, I'm in jail, and this happened. And they were pretty serious stuff. That's been 7 years. They're still in. They called me 2 weeks ago, and I talked to them, and they were in jail, and they said, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm studying the Bible, and there's a guy here. This guy has found incredible truth in the Bible that nobody's ever discovered. And he says, he's teaching me. And he says, I'm finding incredible things about the Bible. This guy's teaching me. It is so incredible. He says, I'm finding out stuff about God that the Christians don't even believe. I said, where'd you meet this guy? Well, he's with me in jail. I said, it dawned on you, he might not be the authority on God and morality and how to live your life. So, well, yeah, he is here for some pretty serious things, and he just got in here, so he must have just done them. I said, maybe he does the presence of God working real powerfully in his life. Maybe he discovered things that nobody else discovered in the Bible because they're not there. I had another somebody who went to our church, then moved away, but they got real confused on doctrine when they got out from the protection of a good Christian church, and they called me and said, I am so confused right now. My brother is teaching me things about the Bible, and he says all Christians are wrong, and he's found these things in the Bible, and he's very convincing in what he says, and it seems like it's true what he's saying. And of course, he's taking a couple verses and yanking them there to what he wants to say, and if you don't have a well-rounded picture of the Bible, then it'll look like that's very convincing, and just like any cult or anything else. And she says, I told him to call you because I can't find anything wrong with what he's saying. It looks like it's in the Bible. And so the guy calls me, and he gave me a call, and he had the most cockamamie ideas in the world. And it was so easy to prove wrong. It was incredibly easy to prove wrong. And literally, he based his doctrine on, he had this whole doctrine about the kingdom of God and being born again, there's no heaven, we just see in the spiritual world, all this stuff. And literally, the entire doctrine was built off when I think it was Simon, I can't remember who it was, who was sitting under a tree, and Jesus, when he came to Jesus, says, oh, yes, I know all about you. I knew when you were sitting under the tree a little while back ago. And somehow from that, he got this weird doctrine, there's no heaven, everything else, and I'm sitting there saying, man, you got that, it doesn't even say it. And well, you got to assume that if he saw him there, that he saw the unseen things, and we're all just supposed to see in the spirit. I mean, it was just a weird doctrine. And I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and I said, can I ask you a question? I said, when was the last time you spent an hour in prayer? He said, we're not talking about that right now. I said, how's your marriage going? He said, you don't even need to be nosing into my life. I said, are you still married? He said, I'm not going to talk to you about this. And so he started talking again for a sec, and I kept on talking and talking. I said, can I ask when the last person you led someone to Christ was? And he wouldn't answer that question. Nobody would accept the truth anymore. And then all of a sudden he goes, I gotta go, my boss is coming, slam! I thought, what a terrible Christian. He's afraid when his boss looks at him, he's doing the wrong thing, and he shouldn't have been talking to me this whole last hour on the phone. So he's sinning and doing that, and he's sitting there trying to tell me how good a Christian he is this whole time. When that's ungodliness. You're not working hard for your boss, and you're ashamed. The Bible says you're not supposed to serve your boss without your boss with eye service as men pleasers. So I called her back, and I said, can I just ask you a question? I said, I don't know your brother from Adam, but can I make some assumptions right now? I said, let me guess. Your brother's life is a complete disaster. Well, yeah, he is a mess. I mean, he has been suicidal, and his life is terrible, and you know what? He can't handle his money, and you know, his wife left him because he was unfaithful to her, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, why do you think this guy... The Bible says the truth will set you free. Do you consider him set free from sin? No, man, he does not live a Christian life. I said, then he's probably not the guy full of the Holy Spirit who can teach you the Bible. Considering the end of their conversation. And does the truth that somebody says is true, does it set people free? Does this give you a good marriage? Does it give you joy? Does it give you victory? Does it make you love people more? Is it good doctrine? Does it bring holiness in your life? Because the truth will set you free. And if somebody's life is darkness, then they are not. The Bible says if you're dwelling in Christ, you're walking in the light. There's no darkness at all. And the Bible says if you're walking in darkness, you don't know Christ. 1 John says that. John chapter 1 says that. And so consider what the doctrine does. If it makes you hate people or makes you furious or makes you live in anger, then it's not good doctrine. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's freedom from all those things. And look at the end of things. Now, listen, I want you to think about this for a sec. That is not one event in somebody's life. Okay? Well, my parents, they went and they got mad one time and threw a rock through a window. Well, I'm not going to listen to them ever again. No. It's their lifestyle. Peter was a man who lost his testimony, denied Christ, and cursed. Yet, you could trust him for doctrine at Pentecost. And his lifestyle continued for decades to follow Christ. It's not one single event of someone's life. You understand, if the truth they teach is in their life, and if that truth brings forth something you'd want, do you want to be like that? That's a very important thing. Usually you'll find that, and by the way, 1 Timothy 6 talks about this, that the false prophets are immoral people and cannot stop themselves from immorality. And so you see, because they're coming from bad doctrine. The Pharisees were bad doctrine, and their lives were very nasty lives. They were very condemning and judgmental and nasty, and you don't want that. So they just wanted to finish that up. And the next thing I just wanted to do real quick is lose your agenda. Lose your agenda. And in Mark chapter 8. When you're looking through the Bible to see what it says, lose your agenda. Be willing to believe whatever the Bible says. Verse 17, and Jesus knew it. He said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? You can have your hearts hardened. And John 8:43, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you will not receive the truth, though I show it to you, because your hearts are hardened. Let me illustrate this. People say, well, if the Bible is true and it says what it says, why do Christians go with different doctrines? Because they have agendas. My church just sprinkle baptizes people, and we're always going to sprinkle the babies because that's what we do. And you say, well, look, it says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? That's the way you get baptized, is after you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, are you ready to get baptized? Is that baby believed yet? No, it can't be baptized. No, I don't believe that. Our church, that's the way we've always done it. and I feel good about baptizing my baby, and so I'm not going to believe that. That's because your heart is set. You have an agenda. You're going to believe what you want to believe. And your heart can be hardened because of that. And some people say, well, why do Christians disagree? Listen, the Constitution is a great example of this. The Constitution says the Constitution says. But right now, if you took, well, okay, for example, you just had a case come to Supreme Court. These guys who their whole lives and gals, their whole lives, their life is to study the Constitution and see what it says. And it's not a very big document. And yet a case came to them about the ability for someone to own a firearm. Okay? You would think that nine people who study the same document their whole lives, and they have one amendment to study on this, the Second Amendment, would all come up with the same conclusion, wouldn't you? Pretty simple. It says that the government should not infringe upon the right to keep and to bear arms and to form militia. It says the people have a right to keep and bear arms. But four justices says, no, you don't have a right to have guns. And four of them said, yes, you do. And one of them was always a swing vote that went with the side that says you do have a right. And they said, okay, you can have a gun in your house. Now, the Constitution, no matter what, anybody who didn't know anything about agendas or anything else, they'd read the Second Amendment. It's the number two amendment of the Constitution. It says you have a right to keep, a citizen has a right to keep and bear arms. It says that really clear. But four of those Supreme Justices have a very strong agenda, and they don't like guns. So what do they say? No, the Constitution doesn't say that, because they didn't want to read that. It's the same way with the Bible. If you want to find your agenda in the Bible, you can twist it, the Bible says, to your own destruction, because that's your agenda. When you lose your agenda and you just say, what does it say? I'm going to follow it. It'll become very clear to you when you listen to the Holy Spirit. But if you have an agenda, again, just like our Constitution, it doesn't matter how clear our Constitution is. If you think it says something and you want it to say something, you'll make it say something. By the way, you ever have somebody twist your words? And you didn't mean that? And they know you didn't mean that? But they wanted you to say that? That's how people do with God. They want you to... And you're condemning me. No, I'm really not. Or, you said this to me. I didn't say that at all. Well, it's what you meant. You're twisting what I'm saying there. And because you have an agenda, you want to think I said that. You're making it sound like I said that, but I didn't say that. And God doesn't say things. So when you lose your agenda, the Bible comes real clear. You just got to be say, Lord, what does the Bible say? And people can do that because of their denomination. And there are Baptists who do that. You can do that because of your background. You can do that because you just don't agree. It'd be because of your lifestyle. You'll have people who say the Bible doesn't say homosexuality is a sin. Give me a break. But it says that. Well, my son is gay, and you know what? I just don't think the Bible says that. You know, there's a whole bunch of things in the Bible that I don't like that it goes against what I do. And I can say, you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. That's okay for me to do that, because I do it. I'm going to take the word of the God of the universe and say, because I do this, it is not true. It says this. That's pretty dangerous stuff. What you would do is just say, what does the Lord say? And Lord, I will change my life to your word. See, you either try to change the word of God to fit your lifestyle, or you change your lifestyle to fit the word of God. If I were you, because when you die, you're going to be judged according to the book, as we'll talk about in Sunday school this morning, I would lose your agenda, because it doesn't matter what you believe. The Bible says that God be true and every man a liar. If you go and you believe that murder isn't wrong, and you go murder and you stand in front of God, God will say, murder's wrong. Well, I just didn't believe that. Murder's wrong, and you're being judged according to that. It doesn't matter. Just like I can go and I can say, you know what? I interpret, you know what? When that speed limit said 60, I interpreted that differently, and I have a different idea of miles than you, police officer, and I interpret that as 80. So I was going to 80, and I was keeping my law the way I interpret it. Well, the police are not going to say, oh, okay, your own interpretation is all that matters. No. What it says, and that's the law. And the Bible is true, no matter what the world says, no matter how much they say, I don't believe that. So next. Now, new point. And to go along with this thing, we'll finish up today how to find the truth of the Bible. Wait for the Lord to reveal it to you. This is so important. Book of Luke. Truth seekers need to learn this. God wants to reveal the truth to you. The Bible is clear. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. He'll lead you into all truth. But you have to wait for him to teach you. Luke 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Okay? If you understand the book of Luke, this is the last chapter of Luke. This is way, this is after the resurrection. Okay? After Jesus has been with them 3.5 years, Jesus all of a sudden opens understanding and says, okay, now you can understand the scriptures in this subject. That was when Jesus said, okay, it's time for you to understand. There is a time to understand. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is something that a lot of people don't like. Is they want to know it, they want to know it now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are ye now are ye able. He said, I fed you with milk, not meat, because you could not handle the meat. Now listen, there is a time when you're ready to understand a truth, and there's a time when you're not ready for it. Many of the truths that I got from the Bible, and I sought out and I sought the truth of the Bible from that, and I talked to a lot of people and studied the scriptures, and as I said last week, I memorized every single verse in the subject. It still didn't make sense. And I waited, and I waited, and sometimes it was 2 and 3 years, 4 years, after I memorized every verse I could find in the Bible on the subject before I got it. And all of a sudden, I remember one time, I remember the parking lot I was driving in Danielson's Thruthway parking lot in Oregon City, Oregon, and all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. Boom! And it was so clear, I was like, why couldn't I understand that before? And all of a sudden, I understood it. Why? Because it wasn't my time to grasp that truth. And God has many reasons for this. First of all, sometimes you're not ready to bear it. You cannot handle that truth yet, or it's not something you're ready for. And it's not something you can grasp, or you're maybe not spiritual enough, maybe it's too meaty for you, you need to get the basics down. You're not able to grasp it yet. And listen, it's like with a child. I'm not going to teach my 8-year-old child about everything in life, like the birds and the bees. They don't need to know that yet, and they can't grasp it yet. Their desires and everything else in life is not there yet. And you know what? Well, public schools think they are, but people with brains don't think so. And so you go and you think they are not ready for that yet in life. By the way, wise parents don't tell their kids everything that's going on. And I know a million things. Listen, I know a million, not a million, I know many things about many people in our church that will be in church this morning that you don't need to know. And sometimes there's discouraging things happening, and I won't go tell some people because it'll discourage them. You know, not everybody needs to know everything at a certain time. When they need to know it, when they can handle it. Listen, I all of a sudden I hear some terrible news, and I find out some terrible news about someone in church, and I'm talking to someone else in church who's their friend. And so-and-so is let's just say so-and-so, their friend, just went back into drugs. And then I'm talking to their friend at church, and their friend says, you know what, I am so hopeless and miserable right now. I just don't feel like living right now. Is it the time to tell this person about their friend? No, they can't bear it right then. And some truths in the Bible, you can't bear it, you're not ready. Some truths in the Bible, God doesn't show you because you won't appreciate it yet. Sometimes it'll overwhelm you. Listen, a new Christian who's got 3,000 battles to overcome, and they've got the, you know, they're doing drugs, and their marriage is falling apart, and they're having a real problem with cussing, and they're about to lose their job because they keep cussing their boss out. Okay, and that same person has a real problem with immodest dress. Okay, let's work on a few things before we get to the immodest dress thing here. There's different things in the Bible that you're not ready to do and ready to handle. And so God says, you're not ready to grasp that yet. The disciples could not grasp many truths. And Jesus would say, you're not going to get it now, but you'll get it later. And that's good. And you wait till God says, you're ready to understand this. You start teaching a kid who's in fourth grade calculus, and they're going to say, I hate math. It's just too complicated. I don't like it. I don't understand it. And they might never learn addition and subtraction, multiplication, division, and algebra. And you've got to wait. Let God think you're ready. 1 Peter chapter, let me give you another verse on this. 1 Peter and chapter 1. Sometimes God hasn't revealed it to you because it's not your time to understand it. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied of the grace should come unto you. Talking about the Old Testament prophets, they studied the scripture and prophesied and wrote scripture about the salvation that we know all about. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow unto whom it was revealed. And that not unto themselves, but unto us, do they minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost down from heaven. The Old Testament prophets could not grasp all the truth. And if you read Daniel 12, Daniel said, what in the world do all these things mean? And God says, Daniel, seal it up to the end. You're not going to grasp it. And the prophets in the Old Testament, though Isaiah was a much better Christian than me and knew a bunch more, and God, he wrote the very scripture, he doesn't know as much about the gospel as I do. He does now, but when he was on earth, he sure didn't. Why? Well, he wasn't in the right time. And so God sometimes says, I am going to reveal this to you when you're ready to handle it, when you can take it. My kids constantly ask for coffee. They love our coffee, and our coffee doesn't taste like coffee. It tastes like Seattle coffee, which is something to put your creamer in. And so our kids always want our coffee. You know what? I don't want to give my kids coffee yet. Do I mind them drinking coffee someday? No, it'll be fine. They'll be able to drink it someday, and they'll do that. But right now, it's not good for their bodies. It's not good for them to get that, and they're not able to bear it. I don't put heavy burdens on my children. They can't all handle them all yet. And sometimes you can't handle it. You're not ready yet. And so it is not the right time. It's not the right things. So sometimes I study and study and study and all, and I cannot get it. And I don't say, I've got to know. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to decide today. That's foolish. You let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you when he thinks you're ready. Trust God enough to wait on God. And he'll reveal it to you. The disciples had their eyes of understanding open after traveling full time with Jesus 3.5 years. You got to wait for God to reveal it to you and ask the Holy Spirit to do it. Let me show you. I'll just show you in the Bible something I don't understand. Revelation 13. I'll illustrate to you right now. There are things I've studied and looked at and read about and tried to figure out. And you know what? God says it's not time for you to understand it because I just cannot get it. And I study the Bible all the time and I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me. And I pray Psalms 119 verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. But Revelation 13, it seems like we're in verse 18, we're supposed to understand something and study it out and get it, but I can't get it. It says, here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding, doesn't say any certain time frame, count the number of the beast. For it is a number of a man, and his number is 666. I've read entire books on it. I've studied it. I've read all kinds of articles on it. And all kinds of people got all these things. They know what that is. You know, not one of those that I've read is it. The Holy Spirit has just not said that's it. But it says, let him understand. It says, fascinating, it says, count the number of his name. Now, I've studied this thing. I've looked at it, and I think in the Greek, it actually is a different kind of number than we are looking at. We look at it 666. I think from what I've studied and looked at it, it's actually 666, which is a different number than 666. That's 600, 60, and 6. That's what it looks like the way it's written. And I'm supposed to count the number of his name. So what's that mean, Pastor? I have no idea. God hadn't revealed it to me yet. I've read books, they were positive about it. Boy, there's a book that proves that it was Ronald Reagan. Because Ronald has 6 letters, Wilson has 6 letters, and Reagan has 6 letters. And Ronald Reagan's the Antichrist, it says in the 1980s. He was sure of it. I don't think he listened to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit would have not said that because Ronald Reagan's dead. And he was the Antichrist. I got a book. Somebody gave me a great book on Gorbachev as the Antichrist. And boy, there's all kinds of books. There are so many people who were the Antichrist. They were sure of it because they figured it out in some incredible way. You know what? God just says you're not ready to understand it yet. I mean, I'm ready to understand it. I'll have a great lesson for church. But you know what? I don't understand exactly what the mark of the beast is. I don't understand what it'll look like. I don't understand exactly how it'll work. Everybody says it's a microchip. The Bible doesn't say it's a microchip. It might be a microchip. It makes sense that it's a microchip. Buy and sell and all that stuff. But I got a book that says it's the barcode. And the barcode is actually three groups of sixes. But I don't understand it. And none of those things look quite right to me. So I'll wait for God to reveal it to you. I'm not going to force the truth when God says you're not ready to understand it, because then I won't understand it. And that's wait on God. Next, let good men teach you. Let me take a look back to the book of Acts. This will tie together a couple things you've said. And it goes along with a couple of points. Excuse me, Acts chapter 8. I said, ultimately, the Holy Spirit is your teacher, but the Holy Spirit uses humans. And Acts chapter 8, and into verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. Then the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And so Philip obeys the Holy Spirit, goes to this man and says, do you understand what you're reading? He's reading Isaiah 53, the passage about Jesus dying on the cross. And he's reading that, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? In verse 31, and he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so he taught him the scriptures. How can I understand this except somebody teaches me? There is nothing wrong with a person teaching you. It's God's way. How shall they hear without a preacher? There is nothing wrong. A great deal of what I've learned is from good men preaching and teaching me the Bible. A good deal of what I've learned is from my own personal study. Everything in both sides is checked by the Holy Spirit, searching the scriptures, and not the philosophy of man, but what does the Bible say? And that's where I get it. So there's nothing wrong with a human teaching you. It's part of God's ordained thing. God's ordained person was Philip to teach him that thing. And that's what the Bible says, let good men teach you. The best person usually biblically at this is the pastor teacher. There's a reason for that biblically, and historically it's very true. Pastor teacher is the best person to teach you, because in the book, I think it's Ephesians 4, it talks about the gifts that God gives the church. And one of those gifts, it says, it talks about apostles and prophets, then it says, and the pastor and teacher. And that is one gift. The rest of them are listed, and the pastor and teacher is the same gift. A pastor is a specific gift, and the pastor is a pastor teacher. Their job is to speak the word of God, whom God calls, God equips. And God comes, and he comes to the pastor teacher, and he says, your job is to teach the Bible to the church, Acts 20, 28, feed the flock of God. So there's this one gift, that specific job in the entire world is to feed people the word of God. And I think that God goes to pastors and says, you're going to have a gift for understanding and teaching the Bible, because that's your job I am giving you. And God prepares people just like he prepares anybody. The military prepares people. Your company prepares people. God prepares people. And if you look historically, some people who weren't pastors, who are tremendous men of God, who did great works for God, you read nothing about their doctrine, and they never taught a lot of people doctrine. For example, Billy Sunday. You won't find a book by Billy Sunday on doctrine. And you won't find people talking about what Billy Sunday taught them. Okay? Same with somebody like Billy Graham. Same with somebody like D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody understood the Bible like an average Christian. He grasped it. He preached it. Had millions saved. Great ministry. Nothing wrong with that. He just wasn't a pastor. But if you do look at Spurgeon, you'll find tremendous, incredible doctrine that people for 200 years have been reading to grasp doctrine from Spurgeon, because he's a pastor. He pastored in London, and so he was like that. And I think many Christians, and any kind of Christian, could teach you many things, but I think the best teacher of the Bible is... Now, understand that's not the position. There can be someone who holds this position who doesn't have the gift of a pastor-teacher, but the person who has a gift to teach you the Bible, the pastor-teacher, is someone that you should teach. Let me get little controversial here and get myself in a lot of trouble here, but biblically, you should get your doctrine confirmed by a man. And women, you should get your doctrine confirmed through a man. That's biblical. So if a woman wants to know, has a question about God, she should ask her husband at home. Okay? Eve was deceived first. And I want you to understand this. Women are, and by the way, that's why the Bible's against women preachers. 1 Timothy 2:12 says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man in church. And 1 Corinthians 14 says the same thing. They're not supposed to be teachers in church. Women are just as smart as men, but they're smart in a different sort of way, and they have a different gift. And women are very, very emotional, and they make very emotional decisions. And doctrine is not to be made emotionally. For example, I know this person, and I love them, and this couple loves each other, and they're living together, but they really love each other. It's okay with God. Many women would not say that, but a woman is much more susceptible to that because a man tends to look at facts and a woman would look at emotion and say, the Bible must say that's okay, they really love each other and they're living together. And so I think that's why the Bible says a man is supposed to be a pastor, not a woman. And by the way, I don't care that who's on TV and who says okay. It's direct violation of Scripture. There's no debate on that. And no Christian believed that 50 years ago. Until the women's rights movement got pushed into churches. Now, women are wonderful. They're equal with God in God's sight. They can be godly. They can be more spiritual men. They can do great things for God. They can be used by God. But I do think that a woman should not make doctrinal decisions all by herself. I think she can look at the scriptures, study them, ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can reveal it to her. But I think she also should confirm it through a man, through a pastor, or through her husband, if she's married. And that's true. And by the way, you'll find out some of the craziest cults out there were started by women. Mary Baker Eddy, Mary Baker Eddy. She started a cult, and there's many cults out there started by women who made some emotional thing, and I think that's part of the thing that should happen, and that's a learn. Let good men teach you. If somebody wants to teach you the Bible, let them. If they know what they're talking about, but look at them and say, you know what? And by the way, we've had this, folks. Literally in our church. A nutbag comes in our church who's a kook. And please, they come to church and I think they're a kook. And they come to me and said, you know what? I had a UFO come and tell me that Jesus really was an alien. He's actually a gray. And then they walk up to you and say, I know the Bible really well. And I'm going to teach you what the truth about the Bible is. And you just start... No! I'm the one who the teaching this church goes through. I'll put somebody in charge of a Sunday school class. Listen, we used to have a guy in our church in Oregon who used to be the first person to say, I mean, just everybody knew came, I know a lot about God. And that was the same guy who said an angel came and talked to him and told him about God, the real truth about God. And he asked the man, are you an angel from Jesus? And the angel said, don't talk about Jesus. I don't like that name of Jesus. But yes, I'm an angel from God. I said, well, if the angel doesn't like the name of Jesus, I might check his ID and make sure he really came from heaven. Because if he doesn't like the name of Jesus, he's probably not a good angel. But this guy got some real great revelation from this angel who didn't like the name of Jesus. Okay? And you look at these people and they're nuts and their lives are falling apart and they're in and out of institutions. Don't let them teach you the Bible. Let somebody whose life is together, whose life has been set free by the truth, teach you the Bible. And if you do that and look to the Holy Spirit and look to the Lord and study and study and study and study, number one, the Scriptures. If you think you've studied the Scriptures enough and you've studied them a ton and memorized them and read them a whole bunch, then if you have time, you can look under some commentaries and some other books and maybe look at those things. But you know what? If you will look at the Scriptures and listen to the Holy Spirit and study the Word of God and listen to good people who know the Scriptures, you'll find the Bible is really clear and it'll set you free. And you will know what the Bible says if you're willing to wait for God to reveal it to you when you're ready. And if it doesn't make sense, when it's just like this, bunch of pieces, and when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit quickens you, he makes you understand, all of a sudden it says, it all fits perfectly together. All the Scriptures fit perfectly together. And you just grasp it, and it's as clear as day. And they open their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray as we study the scriptures, I pray that we would understand, Lord, your word. I pray you'd help us to get victory, Lord, and over deceit and false doctrine that the Bible says will come in mass in the last days, Father. I pray you'd please help us in these things. Help us to grasp the truth of the Bible. Help us to see your word and your truth, Father, because your word is real. Whether people want to change it because they have an agenda or what they want to do, Father, I pray we just study the scriptures and believe what they say. Even if they don't agree with things that we do, I pray we wouldn't try to twist the scriptures to our own destruction. Thank you for the word of God. What a gift, Lord, that we can read it and be guided into the truth of the Bible.